السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم صل على محمد، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. أو you who believe, be steadfast maintainers of justice, witnesses for God, though it be against yourselves or your parents and kinfolk. Amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Allahumma salli. We often find ourselves, when it comes to identifying ourselves and identifying others, we often find that we employ labels to identify ourselves and others, these labels that express some form of affiliation with one or more groups. For example, sometimes when we introduce ourselves, we may introduce ourselves based on the color of our skin or others. We label ourselves or others, we identify ourselves or others based on the color of our skin. He is white, she is black. Sometimes we find that we label ourselves and others based on the country of our origin, where we are born, or where our parents may be born, or where we live, our national identity, nationality, right? Sometimes we find ourselves identifying ourselves and others through sex or gender, or through, for instance, political party or political leaning. This person is conservative, that person is liberal, right? This person is a Democrat, that person is a Republican. Sometimes we find ourselves identifying ourselves with more than one of these labels. I am an Arab American, male. I am an Arab American, whatever it may be, when it comes to identifying ourselves and others. We use some of these labels. We use some of these categories when it comes to categorizing ourselves and identifying others. And so when we come to social science, many scholars, social scientists, we find that they study specifically these ideas, and they've come up with theories that are related to the way that we self-categorize and the way that we engage in social identity. And they study this from various aspects. One thing, one area of study, first has to do with the categories and the labels themselves. These categories, which are based on race, on ethnicity, nationality, on gender, on whatever it may be, political party, all of these different categories and labels, they question these labels. Where do these labels come from? Are they, in technical terms, are they social constructions? Right? When we talk about race, is there something in reality called race, or is race a social construction? Is there something in reality called nationality, or is it a social construction? And so on and so forth. So this is one area. They question the construction and the application of these labels and these categories. This is number one. Another area of study is in regards to how and why we as human beings, why we define and identify ourselves and others in terms of membership with one group over another. Why is it that I, when I identify myself, I will identify myself with one group or another group? I might identify myself based, why is it that I would use a specific label? Why would it I use my nationality, right? Or why would I use my religion? Or why would I use my gender? Or anything like that. These categories, why I would choose to identify myself and others, right? Membership in these groups over another group. What is the function of this? This is another area. Another area of study is what are in fact the definitions and the parameters of some of these labels. Meaning what? Let me give you an example. Sometimes we identify ourselves as Americans. We identify ourselves with the country of our residence. Some of us may have been born here, and so we consider this, you know, this is the place of birth, and this is our home and country. Some people, they immigrated to the United States. They reside here. So what does it mean when we identify ourselves as American? What does it mean to be American? What does it mean? I read an article that was published in the New York Times earlier this month by a professor at UCLA. And she basically questioned this category. What does it mean to be American? Is, you know, this label that we choose when we identify ourselves as American, is it based on physical appearance? Is it based on because is it a legal status? If you are a citizen, if you have a passport, then that means you're American, and if you don't have a passport, then you're not. Is it cultural? Is it cultural? Do you eat hot dogs? Right? Do you watch baseball? Do you celebrate the 4th of July? Do you like apple pie? Right? Is it cultural? Is it something else? Is being American defined perhaps by race, by the color of your skin? If the color of your skin is one color, then you are American. If it's another color, you're not American, or you are not as American. Is this the case? Is it by the language that you speak? Does being American entail that you have to know English or not? Can you not know the language, English language, but still be considered American? These are questions that are raised. So we ask, right, and we find that there is great discrepancy in some of these labels and our understanding of some of these labels. What it means to be American. What it means to be Muslim. Do we have one category of one way of being Muslim and all other ways, all other expressions are not acceptable? And we can ask about this question about the various categories and the labels that we use in order to categorize ourselves and to identify ourselves and others. But remarkably, despite all of the differences in interpretation and understanding, and despite furthermore the prevalence and the prominence of individualism in the society that we live in, society that emphasizes in many ways individualism. For some, this might be something that is shocking to hear. But amazingly, if we really question society and we question how society functions, we find in many different ways that this idea of individualism is pushed. For us, for some of us, it's invisible. We don't see it. It's just part of our lives. But if we question and we look deeply, we will find that there is a prevalence and an emphasis on individual, on the individual, who you are as an individual. Not in relation to a social group, but who you are each and every one of you as an individual. Despite this notion, the prevalence of individualism, amazingly, we still find that the vast majority of people, they stick to their groups. When they identify themselves, they will still use race or ethnicity or nationality or religion or political preference or whatever it may be to identify themselves, right? And so this idea of social identity is very prevalent in society. Now, this has advantages and disadvantages. What are the advantages? The advantages of being able to identify with another group or with a group based on whatever form of marker that we want to use, whether it's country or race or religion, whatever it is. The advantage of this is what? Is that as individuals, we then not only live as individuals, but we become members of society, of a social group. And with that, there could be benefits. There could be support, right? We find that there is a sense of collective and social worth. When you have people that you can relate with, people who can support you, then this gives you a sense of collective and social worth. There are benefits. There are benefits in having a support network of like-minded individuals, right? People who you can count on to support you in various aspects of life. So there are benefits. Yet, there are also some major disadvantages and some major areas which could lead to harm when it comes to this issue of labeling ourselves and categorizing ourselves, identifying ourselves and others based on some of these categories. And one of this is that in some cases, insisting that you are part of a specific group, this can come at the expense of what? Of truth and justice. It can be a way where when I insist that I belong to a specific racial group, or I belong to a specific religious group, or a school of thought within a religious group, or I belong to a certain country, or to a certain ethnicity, or to a certain, you know, category of sex, or gender, for that matter, right? This can occur at the expense, and it can sometimes blind us to truth and justice. We find today that many, when it comes to identifying themselves, they identify themselves based on their race, based on the color of their skin. And despite whatever happens within that group who also share this race, despite what happens, their blind loyalty to this group prevents them from standing up for justice, for truth. Right? We will go out and we will support anything that is immoral. We will support injustice. We will support bigotry and prejudice. Why? Because the person who is committing it is part of my group. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what he or she says, or doesn't matter what he or she does. Because for me, the most important thing for me is the color of my skin and this identity marker that I share with people who share the color of my skin. It doesn't matter what happens. As long as my people are safe. This is a problem that we see today. This problem is not only particular to race, but it also extends to religion. It's a problem even in religious circles. That we blindly follow and affiliate ourselves with a particular school of thought or tradition, religious tradition, at the expense of truth and justice. Look at what's happening in the world with sectarianism today. Some people who blindly adopt their school of thought just because the person or this group that they share the school of thought, you know, they share some certain customs or traditions or way of prayer. Even at the expense of justice. They see injustice happening in the world, but they are not ready to stand up against injustice. They are not ready to say anything. Why? Because the people who are committing it, they share their group. They share their religious tradition. This is a problem, brothers and sisters. Sometimes blind insistence and loyalty to one's group, one's affiliations, one's social affiliations, sometimes it blinds us to truth and to justice. And when it comes to our teachings, we find that our teachings, they encourage us to always pursue the truth at all times, absolutely. To always pursue justice. The Quran tells us in chapter number 4, verse 135, Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, kunu qawwamina bilqist, be steadfast maintainers of justice. Always stand up for justice. Steadfast, all the time. Kunu qawwamina bilqist, shuhada'a lillah, witnesses for God. And then Allah says what? He says, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنَ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Even if it means that you will stand up and you will witness against yourself or your parents and your relatives and your family members. You know, sometimes it's really easy for us if there's injustice happening with strangers, a community that I do not necessarily belong to or affiliate myself with. It's very easy for me to stand up and say, oh, look at the justice, look at this group, look at what they're doing. It's very easy. It's not easy to stop, to pause for a moment and to ask myself and to question my community, my own community. Are we perpetuating any injustice? Are we committing any injustice? Am I ready to admit my injustice or my group's injustice when it happens? It's not easy. The Quran says, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Even when it comes to yourselves, even if standing up for justice, witnessing for God, pursuing truth means you will turn against yourself. أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Or when it comes to your family members, your parents, the closest people to your parents, your relatives, whom the Quran and our teachings, they insist on showing kindness to, respect to. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, respect is one thing and standing up for the justice and truth is another thing. Not at the expense of justice and truth. When it comes to our teachings, they encourage us to avoid favoritism. They encourage us to avoid negative partisanship. Our fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, he says in the hadith, he says there are two types of partisanship, affiliation, or a strong sense of affiliation. Right? The Arabic word for this is asabiyya. Asabiyya is an interesting word. It's not very easy to translate into English. It has many connotations. Essentially, asabiyya is usness. It's blind and absolute loyalty to me and my group. It could be my racial group, my national group, my religious group, whatever it may be. Me and my group. Blind loyalty. An absolute loyalty. And Imam Zain al-Abidin, he says there are two types of asabiyya. There is one that is negative and there is one that's good. The one that is negative, he says, and Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, he says, al-asabiyyatu allati ya'thamu alayha sahibuha an yara ar-rajulu shirara qawmihi khayran min khiyari qawmin akharin. The negative type of usness is when one, a member of a group, he considers those who are immoral, those who come from his group, but they are immoral, he considers them to be better than those who are moral, but they do not share an affiliation with him. He considers those who are immoral, they may share the same color of skin as him, they may share the same religious label or school of thought or madhab, they may share the same, language, they may share the same culture. He considers those who are immoral, part of his group better than those who are moral, but part of another group. Right? Considers what? Considers them better than those who are truly good. Meaning what? Meaning it's not important, the label. The label is not important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you identify yourself, whether it's racial or ethnic or national or religious, it doesn't matter. What is important is this pursuit of truth and justice in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Imam, he goes on to say, وَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْعَصَبِيَّةِ أَن يُحِبَّ رَجُلُ قَوْمَهُ. It's not negative partisanship for someone to be proud of his or her group or language or culture or country, for someone to be patriotic. No, there's no problem. There's absolutely no problem for someone to be happy and proud of his or her country. In fact, the traditions, they encourage us. They tell us that we should express loyalty and appreciation of the place that we live in and the place that takes care of us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, the best of places, خَيْرُ الْبِلَادِ مَا حَمَلَكْ لَا مَا حَمَّلَكْ. The best of places, the best of countries is that which what? Which gives you opportunity, which takes you in, which brings you in. Not that which places a burden upon you. Sometimes, unfortunately, we find in some places, we hear stories all the time. Maybe ourselves, maybe family members, maybe friends, who have had to leave their countries of origin and go to different parts of the world. Why? Why? Because they were overburdened in their countries. They could not live freely. They could not live in a satisfactory and peaceful manner. So they had to leave, and they went to other places, and these places, they did what? They took them in. They gave them opportunity. They gave them freedom. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, this is the real home. The real home is that which opens its arms for you and takes care of you, not the one that burdens you. So we are encouraged to appreciate. We are encouraged to appreciate our land and our values and our heritage and our intellectual tradition and our culture and our food and our language and all of this. We're encouraged to do so, but not at the expense of truth and justice. That's problematic. Not at the expense of truth and justice. The Imam finally says, وَلَكِن مِنَ الْعَصَبِيَّةِ أَن يُعِينَ قَوْمَهُ عَلَى الظُّلْمِ. That negative usness is when you come to the aid of your group based on what? عَلَى الظُّلْمِ, on injustice. When it's blind loyalty at the expense of justice and truth. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us in the tradition that there is a good type of zeal. For someone to be zealous, to be passionate about something, there is a good type. He says, if you are going to be zealous or passionate about anything, in kuntum la mahalata muta'assibin. You know, this Imam Ali is speaking at a time where tribalism was prevalent, where this issue of asabiyya, usness, was the most important factor in society. It's the most important. Imam Ali says, if you can't get rid of this partisanship, this blind loyalty, if you can't get rid of that, then at least do this. فَتَعَصَّبُوا لِنُصْرَةِ الْحَقِّ وَإِغَاثَةِ الْمَلْهُوفِ. Then at least show zealousness and show passion about, number one, لِنُصْرَةِ الْحَقِّ, aiding the truth. Be passionate about aiding the truth. When it comes to aiding the truth, be absolute, absolutely determined. Do not waver. And what? وَإِغَاثَةِ الْمَلْهُوفِ. And to come to the aid and assistance of the distressed. Make that your objective. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the capacity to open up our hearts and minds, inshallah, to the truth and to always pursue justice. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal-Asr. إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد القرى المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى شرف فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر By the dawn and by the ten nights By the even and the odd And by the night as it recedes Is there an oath therein For the one who is mindful, amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyu al-azim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Today is the third of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the final month in the Islamic calendar. And our traditions, they tell us that the first 10 nights and days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah are very significant. In fact, according to some exegetes of the Qur'an, these first verses of Surah Al-Fajr, they refer to the first 10 days and nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal-Fajr, by dawn, he makes a vow by dawn, Wa-layalin ashr, and the 10 nights. Some exegetes have said that these 10 nights, they refer to the first 10 nights of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. This time, which we know is a time where the global Muslim community turns towards Mecca in order to fulfill its obligation of Hajj, of the pilgrimage to the house of Allah. Millions of Muslims from different parts of the world, they turn towards Mecca in order to perform this great act of worship and this great act of devotion, which according to the Quran, was initiated during the time of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Prophet Abraham and his son Ismail, they are tasked with building the Kaaba, and after they complete the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands Prophet Ibrahim. He tells him, related in the Quran in chapter 22, verses 27 and 28, Allah says, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ And call out and proclaim the Hajj among humankind to all people. They shall come to you on foot and upon all lean beasts, coming from all deep and distant mountain highways. This call was made by Prophet Ibrahim. Some of our traditions, they tell us that Prophet Ibrahim, when Allah made this announcement, he turned around, he looked, he was in a valley that was not populated. It was just him and his family, there was no one there. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked Allah, he said, Oh my Lord, who am I calling forth? Who am I proclaiming the Hajj to? There's no one here. Who is going to hear my voice? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this tradition, he told him, that it is upon you to make the call and it is upon me to spread the word. And since that time, the pilgrims, they turn in devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go and they perform the Hajj. The verse continues and it talks about some of the benefits. That during this time, this is a time, a special time, an honorable time. Allah tells us, In the verse, he says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ So that they do what? That they may witness benefits for them. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, and that they remember the name of their Lord during known days. Again, this known days is a reference to the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُم مِّن بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ, that they remember God and they seek benefits and they thank God over the cattle, the provision that Allah has given, has provided them, so eat thereof and feed the poor and destitute. And thus, we find that there is extra significance placed during this time, during the first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah, which is a time of self-reflection. It's a time of devotion. It's a time of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you are able to go and to perform and observe the Hajj in person, or even if you're not. The traditions, they tell us that this is a time that should be taken advantage of. Special time, like other special times. We have a number of seasons throughout the year that are important. One of them is these first 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. It's a time of self-devotion. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it culminates finally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. The 9th day of the month of Dhul Hijjah, next Thursday inshallah, is the day of Arafah, one of the very important days. The day where the pilgrims, they go out into the desert of Arafat and they turn in complete devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking sincere forgiveness and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then finally, the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah is the day of Eid, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy and through His compassion, He bestows His forgiveness and His blessings upon those who observe this time of devotion. And thus, brothers and sisters, this time is an important time. It's a time that we should take advantage of. The traditions, they tell us there are many acts that we can perform during this time. It's mustahab to fast during this time, if you're able to. Of course, first 9 days, the day of Eid, we cannot fast. We do not fast on the day of Eid. But the first 9 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. It's mustahab for us every night between Maghrib and Isha prayers to perform a two-unit prayer. In each of the rak'ahs of this prayer, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and then we recite Surah Al-Tawheed, and then we recite only the verse, وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً, which is chapter 7, verse 142. 7, 142. It's one verse to recite this after Surah Al-Tawheed in both rak'ahs. And we are encouraged, of course, to help those who are in need. Part of the Eid is to make the sacrifice, and it is encouraged to help others. Of course, the sacrifice is mandatory for those who are in Hajj. It's not mandatory for those who are not doing Hajj, but it's highly recommended. Why? It is highly recommended because it is a form of giving to others. So if you are not able to perform the sacrifice, you can still help others, those who are in need, community members, locally, in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world, because it's a time of recognition. And through helping others, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and I remind you to take advantage of these beautiful days and nights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to turn to Him in devotion and worship and to seek forgiveness from Allah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring peace to those who are suffering, to bring fulfillment of our du'as and supplications. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep safe our friends and family members and all who are participating in the Hajj, that they go and they perform their a'mal and they return to their families and homes safely. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us inshallah and bless you all on the day of Eid. Finally, brothers and sisters, we will be holding inshallah Eid prayers next Friday in 1 week. September 1st is the day of Eid. We will be holding Eid prayers here at the Islamic Educational Center of Orange County. Because it's a work day and our neighbors will be here, we will be holding the prayers very early. The doors will open at 6:30 in the morning, and the prayer immediately followed with takbirat. The prayer will begin at 7 a.m. sharp. and we have to be able to conclude everything because our neighbors will be here. And that means, brothers and sisters, please, 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 that when you come, if you'll be coming, and remind your friends and family members of this, when you come, please make sure that you park in the rear of the masjid. Do not park in the front, not on the street, not in the parking, because it's a work day, it's not a holiday, our neighbors will all be here and they need their parking spaces. So I know it's a little bit of walk, but just think of it this way. On the day of Eid, in Hajj, there are millions of people walking in the morning from Muzdalifah to Mina. So inshallah, we will, through this small few footsteps, first of all, we will get the thawab of those who are walking on the day of Eid. Secondly, inshallah, will be good exercise in the morning. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds and to bless us, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.